No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Five losses in a row now for the Winnipeg Jets, which is a very apt number. You know, we're all about numerology here on the Illegal Curve post-game show, because the Winnipeg Jets went 0-5 with the man advantage in tonight's game. And as we've heard on more than one occasion this season from Jets head coach Rick Bowness, I suspect you're going to hear that special teams, in particular the power play, is what cost the Winnipeg Jets the game tonight. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening in Satellite Beach, Florida, and wherever you may be joining us, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show with Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Vegas Golden Knights 4-1 victory over the Winnipeg Jets. A game, gentlemen, that the Winnipeg Jets had on their sticks on multiple opportunities, but do not succeed with a man advantage, do not have killer instinct when the opportunity presents itself, and as a result, extend the losing streak to that five games that I mentioned. Nice to see both of you guys. How are things back at home?
Well, we're not doing as well as you are, of course, because you're in beautiful, sunny Florida, right, Drew? But we're happy that you're joining us, obviously, tonight with the fan behind you. Obviously, there's not going to be a grandfather clock, because that only happens when Drew's in Kentucky.
I asked my in-laws if they would fly the grandfather clock down with them, and they said, who are you and how did you get this number?
Yeah, they're like, that makes absolutely no sense. And then you even explained to them how it was like a bit on the Illegal Curve postgame show, and still they were like, we don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Please stop asking us to bring the grandfather clock. But guys, I feel like we could spend this entire postgame show talking about what happened there with Mark Scheifele and Nick Hague and Vlad Nemestikov. Like, I realize that we want to focus on the game, looking at it at a macro level, but I'm still not sure, guys, how the referees were looking at that, reviewing that for, it seemed like 10 minutes, and they determined that that wasn't a hit to the head. Like, is that not like a major penalty, I should say? Like, is that not a textbook 5-minute major hit to the head all day long? I'm shocked. And I think, you know, Rick Bowness, the Jets players, everybody, I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce Cassidy was shocked, boys, because it went from a situation where, you know, there's, what was it, 7 minutes left, 8 minutes left. You go from possibly having a 5-minute major, Dave, to then it being even, and then Mark Scheifele's out of the game, right? And yeah. I agree with Kevin Sawyer. Like, that wasn't much of a fight. And I'm going to say this right off the bat. I love that Scheifele goes in there. Nick Hague is a big boy. And this was big boy hockey tonight. But, I mean, that, and you also had Nemestikov, who was out of the game briefly, Dave. Like, I'm not sure if that was time.
Yeah, he got called to the room to get waters, a, right? Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, so, I mean, it, just a huge swing of momentum. And look, it's a nice winning goal by Ivan Barbashev, even though, you know, Kevin Sawyer thought it might be offside on the play there. I think it was Anthony Mantha, if I'm not mistaken. It looked like he could have possibly been offside. He obviously wasn't. He was just barely onside. And then, you know, Barbashev adds insult to injury, and that's the hockey game, right, boys? So I was sitting there watching those power plays in the second period here in my River Heights basement, thinking, like, just score a power play goal, Jets, so we don't have to talk about this. And they, of course, didn't. And we're going to be talking about it, right? Because how many shots, Dave, did the Jets have on the power play? 12, 13?
At least, yeah.
Like that, right? Like, Kyle Connor, I thought, was excellent tonight on the power play. Like, he was looking dangerous. But at the end of the day, boys, you didn't get any goals. So the power play is literally costing them games right now.
Yeah, it's that simple. And we'll get into the, as we get into the Betway game recap, we're definitely going to spend time on the reviewed hit that was then overturned, because it certainly was a key portion of the game. But I just can't get over the fact that you have five power plays. I mean, the power play discrepancy, you don't see very many games where the power play discrepancy is 5-1, Dave. And the Jets, you know, they have the opportunities on their stick. Nikolai Ehlers, a shot that he frequently probably scores on more often than not. You know, Kyle Connor with some opportunities. They have opportunities. It's not like some power plays where we've seen where they can't even get set up. not that they were tremendous and that it was a firing line or anything like that, but the Jets had the opportunities on their stick, puck available to go into the back of the net, and they simply just couldn't execute. And right now, this is a sign of a team that isn't executing at full capacity, at full caliber. You can see the struggles that the team is going through as best evidence today on the power play.
Yeah, first of all, you got to give the Jets some credit, though. I mean, they had a hell of a good second period, even though they did have the benefit of three power plays in that second frame, right, Ezzy? But
and they should have had five, right? Like,
oh no, they missed a high stick on Dylan Sandberg, a high stick on Lowry.
I forget if it was in the second period, might have been in the first period for Sandberg, but the Lowry high stick that they missed. That and you saw him, right? Like, you can read lips. Like, he said,
yeah,
effing wake up.
Oh, you can hear it. No, it was in the second because I was, yeah, no, it was. Look, the reality is that I don't know the benefit of two more power plays would have meant much. You got to also credit Logan Thompson. I thought he had a really good game in net for
he was the Vegas. Best Golden Knights player tonight.
Yeah, he was by far the most noticeable of the bunch. But like I said, this is a team that through. The one thing, look, and I'm not rose-colored glasses. It's still a loss. A loss is a loss. But I will say that the Jets played a much better, more complete game against Vegas. They were up for this game. They were ready to go from puck drop. And they played a decent first period. They played a very good second. They allowed one shot through the first, like, 13, 14 minutes. And again, I understand they had three power plays, but that means that there was other times when it was 5-on-5 and they controlled the play. So you credit the Jets for the way they played. They came out well in the third as well. And, you know, really it's just a momentary lapse changes the nature of the game. Let's forget about the two empty net goals. They're meaningless. This was really a 2-1 hockey game, not a 4-1 game. But ultimately, at the end of the day, this team needs to figure it out. And I know they're going to have a practice tomorrow, and we're going to get an update on Gabriel Vilardi, who's getting closer. And let me tell you, folks, I jokingly tweeted this, the get well soon from Seinfeld. Gabriel Vilardi sounds like he could be a player soon, and that's not a bad thing for this power play. But even if Gabriel Vilardi comes back, they've got to do something different. And, you know, swapping out one player here, one player there, it's not good enough. This power play, sure, it had some movement, sure, it had some chances. And again, you credit the goaltender for playing well, because I thought, again, Logan Thompson, as Ezzy said, made 12 saves, I think, on the power plays today. But they're just not scoring. And so it needs something a little bit more than, you know, moving nickel, like one guy here or there. Like, again, it needs radical alteration. And right now I don't understand why Nikolai Ehlers isn't on that first power play unit to gain the zone and give you an easy point of entry. But like I said, the nature of this game, and at the end of the day, this is what it's going to come down to, is you missed out on five power play opportunities. If you score on just one or two of those, you take this game rather handily because you're playing a really good style of game. So your power play ineffectiveness, Rick Bonus said this yesterday or the day before, sorry, because yesterday they were off. He said the special teams are costing us hockey games. Here's another example. I mean, we should go through
the number of games this year.
The Jets don't have a ton of losses, but how many of these games would not be losses or would be in the OTL loss category as if they were at least able to score on the power play or, you know, kill a penalty?
Well, what I was going to say, Dave, and I apologize for almost interrupting you, but what I was going to say is after the third power play doesn't succeed and then you get two more, you know, you're not obviously going to rearrange your power play units mid-game. That's just something that doesn't happen. You don't see swaps of personnel, you know, on the power play. Maybe you could see, you know, a Pionk coming in for a Morrissey, something that simple. But,
you know, you're never going to see the makeup change unless there's
an injury or something in the game. Yeah. Absolutely. But if you're not going to do that, then, which I understand not doing, maybe send out the second unit first. Maybe give Ehlers' unit more time. You know, maybe try something different that way. But just, again, the same repetitive, you know, I tweeted about it. I was in a traffic jam today, folks, that literally took me 90 minutes to drive 3 miles. And I'd rather go back into that kind of traffic jam than have to watch that Jets power play do the same thing over and over and over and over and over. I think I said it 5 times now. So, you know, it was a coach, I thought, who was too stubborn and too steadfast in his in his ways. It was a power play that just can't execute. It was all sorts of bad when it came to the power play aspect of the game. The PK was fine. They only had one opportunity in the course of today's game. And 5-on-5, this was actually probably the Jets' best game at 5-on-5 since the New York game. So if you want to look at the, if you want to look for positives there, that would probably be a positive in that, you know, they controlled this version of the Vegas Golden Knights at 5-on-5, really from the 10 minute mark of the first period onwards. But when you don't capitalize on your opportunities, it takes one great shot to have you end up being behind 2-1, Ezzy.
Drew, even though I agree with you that the Jets controlled the flow of play at even strength, really, because you had so many power plays, you have to take advantage of one of those in a game like this. In a like you said, Dave, that is, said this. This was not a 4-1 game in terms of how close it was. It was a 2-1 game, and the power play, even though you had a lot of chances. Like, look, Dave mentions Nikolaj Ehlers, and the first power play, for as long as really we've been doing the show, the first power play unit has been getting more ice time, but you saw the second unit, Nick Ehlers had that great chance. You remember it hit the back of the net, right? He didn't get all of it. It was kind of a bit of an awkward shooting angle, right? He was obviously frustrated, but you know, I don't know exactly how many shots Kyle Connor had on the five power plays, but it had to have been at least 4 or 5, Dave. And you know, there were a couple of really good saves by Logan Thompson. So yes, again, we keep talking about these moral victories, but you know, guys, this is 5 losses in a row. And this was a game in which I think the Jets deserved at least a point, right? Let alone 2. And it's demoralizing, right? Because you're right. I mean, Dave talked about, you know, the lack of any scoring chances, or not scoring chances. They didn't even have any shot attempts, Dave, for the majority, the first half, more than the first half of that middle frame, right? And that was obviously, you know, the period where everything fell apart last game, right? So, you know, it's a very disappointing loss for the Jets. And, you know, I go back to, you know, what happened with Nick Hagan and Vlad Nemestikov. Like,
so let me stop you right there, Ezzy.
Wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. No. I don't like to blame refs, but we all heard the "ref you suck" chant at Canada Life Center. The referees deserve that.
Let me. So for anybody who's just joining us for the post game, who maybe didn't watch the entirety of the game, or they tuned in late, or they missed that, let's just recap what happened, because it is certainly a pivotal moment of the game. It's at the 11:23 mark of the third period, so less than 8 minutes to go, or just about the, you know, with about 8.5 minutes to go in the game. Vlad Nemestikov gets hit by Nick Hague. It's an elbow to the head. It's a pretty clear elbow to the head. You know, yes, Hague is sort of tucked in with his elbow. It's not like he's chicken winging it, but it's still an elbow to the head. I agree. No, I see you shaking your head, Ezzy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference.
Kevin Sawyer mentioned that. Like, it's a hit to the head.
It's a hit to the head. Right.
The call on the ice was a 5-minute major.
Right.
And so then they reversed it. That's what I don't. Sorry, Drew. I will go back to here, but I just don't understand what they saw to reverse it. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. And I don't disagree. So Hague hits Vlad Nemestikov in the head. Clean hit to the head, no question about it. Scheifele comes in, drops the glove, standing up for his player who's on the ice, you know, appears to be injured. The call on the ice is made as a 5-minute major to Nick Hague, in addition to a 5-minute major to Scheifele for fighting and a 5-minute major to Hague for fighting. So those are the expected calls on the play. Because it is a major penalty, the referees have the option of reviewing it. What they choose to do is they choose to reverse the 5-minute major call and instead have it just be a 2-minute minor penalty for a hit to the head. Scheifele, so Hague gets 2 and 5. Scheifele gets 5, 2 minutes as an instigator and a 10-minute misconduct. So Scheifele is done for the night because the 2, 5, and 10 are served consecutively, not concurrently. Hague gets the 2 and 5. So there's no, in fact, penalty at all for the Winnipeg Jets. Had they kept the call on the ice as is, it actually only would have been a 3-minute penalty for the Winnipeg, 3-minute power play for the Winnipeg Jets. But nonetheless, that's the call the refs make. They spent a good long time reviewing it before deciding to overturn their initial call. I just don't see the impetus for them overturning it, Ezzy. And I think that's what you are saying here, is that has you so fired up, is it's a hit to the head. Why are we so concerned with, you know, reversing calls when it comes to a hit to the head?
Well, again, I think, again, we could talk about this until we're blue in the face. By the way, we just had the comment up from Baby Yoda. I'll put it up again here. That's BS. Like, it just have some respect for the players and everybody else watching. Don't throw anything on the ice.
Yes.
A bottle, whatever. Ask Dave. Like, I obviously we watch a lot of hockey. It's just so disrespectful. Just don't do it.
Yes, like, there's like no question about it.
Like, how immature are you? How stupid are you to throw stuff on the ice? Anyways, exactly. And I know some people are disagreeing with us, and they're saying that the referees got it right and it only should have been a minor. There's that. And there's also the fact that I don't even think Scheifele should have got an instigator there. A lot of people are saying, why didn't Corey Perry get an instigator the other night when he fought Brendan Dillon, right? Or no, sorry, no, Logan Stanley.
Darnell Nurse fought Brendan Dillon.
The Logan Stanley Corey Perry fight, I think someone's talking about there.
I think what they're talking about is after Brendan Dillon hit Brendan Dillon hit Corey Perry into the Jets bench on Tuesday night, and Darnell Nurse came fought Brendan Dillon.
So the comment, sorry, I lost it in the chat. There's lots of chat happening right now. We appreciated everybody joining us on this beautiful Thursday night. It's the biggest bar night of the year, boys. Good Friday tomorrow. So hopefully there's some people that are kicking back watching the post-game show with a few adult bevies, maybe an illegal curve farmery light beer. You never know. But I just think it was a hit to the head. And I saw, shout out to Gregory Liverpool, Brendan Dillon got suspended earlier this year for a very similar thing.
Right.
So again, like, that's the thing. We can move on here and get into the Betway game recap whenever you want, boys. But I just think that should have been a 5-minute major. And I just think that, to Dave's point, that was the TSN turning point all day long. Forget everything else that happened in this game. If I don't care what anybody says, the Jets most likely score if they are on a 5-minute major power play.
I don't know about that, but Dave, I want your reaction to the official's decision and sort of everything leading up to that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no question about it. As he called it, the TSN turning point. I mean, it obviously had a significant impact in the game because, one, the Jets also were, I would say, just, you know, doing a pretty good job of taking control of that third period, right? And so you're wondering, you can't, look, what a swap, right? You go from, in theory, a 5-minute power play. Even if they give Scheifele 2 minutes there, you're going to get a 5-minute power play. And we know that the Jets power play hasn't been good, but I mean, at that point, with that little time left in the hockey game, there's a modicum of a chance that we know that Nikolaj Ehlers would have at least had more than 30 seconds on a 5-minute major. That would have been a good thing. So
right.
I think it's one of those situations where you can't help but wonder. I'm with Ezzy. Like, I didn't see enough to say, like, sure, you could say he didn't stick his arm out like this. But I mean, he leveled him pretty well. Enough, by the way, for the record, enough for the concussion spotters to think we got to pull him from the game. So you
again, sorry, Dave, I'm going to go right back to you. They called it a 5-minute major on the ice.
Spencey's point is that could be that they wanted to review it, right? As opposed to if they
if they're doing that, then there's a huge issue with then that's bad situational officiating. You should never never call something because you want to reverse it.
Well, I guess the idea being that you want to be accurate, but the other thing you also have to be somewhat cognizant of, how much time should that have taken? Like, there's got to be some sort of mandate there, because that was just an inordinate amount of time that necessitating that sort of review. Because, like I said, how many angles do you need? 2 or 3? And like I said, obviously we felt differently because we saw it in a different manner than the refs did, but you look at that and you think to yourself, the Jets have played a pretty good game. Again, like I said, you can say their special teams stunk, but I thought 5-on-5, the Jets played well. You've now gone from a 5-minute power play, which, like I said, even if you don't score, the likelihood is you're getting at least extra time, and you're getting at least a point out of this hockey game.
Right, true.
But you now, not only do you not have the benefit of the five-minute power play, you don't even have a two-minute power play, and you've lost Mark Scheifele. And then, oh, by the way, the concussion spotters pull Vlad Namestnikov. So right. You now are missing two-thirds of your top line because, of course, in the second period, they swapped Alex Iafallo and Vlad Namestnikov. So the Jets are missing two-thirds of their guys who from the top line. It just changed the game. It changed the nature of the game. I don't understand it personally. Again, I'm not a referee. I don't pretend to be one on this program. But I just can't help but think that, like, yeah, it definitely changed. Like, you wonder almost, like, if the refs are like, we've already given the Jets five power plays. You know, like, again, like, I hate to say game management, but, like, I just, like Drew said, you missed it. Pretty overt. The Adam Lowry one was pretty overt. The Dylan Sandberg one, fine. But, like, again, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, and the Jets, for the record, the Jets got lucky also because in the third period, Dylan DeMello high stick someone along the boards. I don't remember who it was.
Late in the third period before when it was still, I think after.
It was 2-1, I think, at that point.
After Barbashev had tied it.
Or so they didn't. I really wish we weren't talking this much about the officiating, right? And like, I know what you're saying, Dave, but, like, again, you should be making the right call, period, not trying to equal out, you know, the fact that the Jets had way more power plays than the Golden Knights. I'm not saying that that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're just saying that that could have maybe crept into their conscience, right? Like, it just wasn't the right call, in my opinion. And like I said, you know, people can disagree with me, and that's why we love doing the show, right? Like, we're not just all sheep agreeing with each other, right? It's just an unbelievable swing of momentum, guys, to not only reverse the five-minute major, but then to also give Scheifele the two-minute instigator and the misconduct. Because that would have taken him, as Drew rightly pointed out right before we went live to air here, because the misconduct is served after the 5-minute major,
then
Scheifele would not have been eligible to return for overtime.
Yeah, and that's exactly why. So people, it was, you know, he serves the 2 minutes, he serves the 5 minutes, then he serves the 10 minutes. So that's why Scheifele was gone for the rest of the game. Look, there was. If you go back to, you know, this in the course of this 5-game losing streak, which of course you never want a 5-game losing streak, but certainly better to have it at this point in the season than when the playoffs start, because a 5-game losing streak once the playoffs begin means your season's over. You don't think you need to be a math whiz to figure that out. But tonight, at least the Jets game at 5-on-5 resembled what it should look like. Vegas, by the way, and this Vegas team is not a full strength Vegas team by a long shot, so you also have to put that asterisk next to it, that, and it's you know, in doubt if they'll ever get to that full strength Vegas team this season. But think about the superstars that Vegas didn't have in their lineup. You know, we talk about Velarde not being in the Jets lineup. Think about who's not in Vegas's lineup tonight. Alex Pietrangelo, Mark Stone, Tomas Hertl, on a lesser level, Alec Martinez was not in the
William
lineup.
William Carrier, who's a staple of that fourth line.
There you go. So lots of players missing from Vegas's team too. But the Jets didn't score enough goals. And that's been the story of the Winnipeg Jets a lot lately, is that they're not scoring enough goals. And that, you know, whether those goals at 5-on-5 were the issue, or those goals at, you know, with the power play opportunities were the issue, you got to capitalize on those opportunities. And when you don't, then you're going to end up, or could very easily end up biting you in the behind, as it did tonight for the Winnipeg Jets. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of the game. It's the Betway Game Recap.
The Betway Game Recap.
We do this on each and every edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show. It's the Betway Game Recap, brought to you by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Vegas, the more aggressive team, the better team to start tonight's contest. And certainly in the first 5-7 minutes, they were peppering the Winnipeg Jets. A couple early stops by Connor Hellebuck I believe he had one on Jack Eichel, if I'm not mistaken. And then another early first period fight. Apparently, this is Logan Stanley's MO now. He fought with Keegan Kolasar early in the game. And that sort of eventually the Jets sort of pulled their way out of the struggles to start the game before it ended up costing them. Lowry had a good opportunity. He had a tip on a Brendan Dillon shot from the point, a bit of a knuckler, and just went wide. Logan Thompson, he had a really strong game for Vegas. He had a nice save on Mark Scheifele. Pionk to Monahan to Ehlers. Another nice save by Logan Thompson. So the Jets found their skating legs as the first period went on, but certainly weren't ready to go really from the drop of the puck tonight, Ezzy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the start was... I think a lot better versus the Oilers, but they, I think, got better and better as the period went on. I think Dave would agree with that. And, you know, I continue to love the Monahan to Foley Ehlers line. And I see a lot of people in the chat talking about how Gabe Vilardi is going to help the power play. I agree with that. But, you know, until he's back, you have to still produce, right? Like, this has been an issue going on and on and on. But yeah, just going back to the first period, I agree with Dave. I thought, you know, even though, you know, the start was a little bit slower at one point, the shots were a little bit one-sided in Vegas's favor. The Jets eventually evened it up. And I think you guys would probably agree that it was a pretty even first period. I don't know if you give the Jets much of an advantage, if at all, but remember there was a nice, little give and go between Monahan and Ehlers. And also, you know, Lowry, Appleton, Nemestikov, I just thought they were solid when they were out there. There's no scoring chances that really jump into my mind in the first period, but I just thought that they were aggressive on the forecheck, playing physical. And, you know, I like the fact that Logan Stanley and Keegan Kolasar fought. Like, at the end of the day, guys, Logan Stanley's a defenseman. He doesn't know, you know, which game he's going to be in and which game he's going to be a healthy scratch. And I'll just put it out there. I'm surprised that he was in the lineup. I thought it was going to be, I thought Nate Schmidt would stay in the lineup. I thought it would be Samberg in for Stanley straight up. And obviously, you know, you had Samberg playing on his offside, right? And Samberg was good. There's no problem with Samberg's play. But if you're not contributing offensively, which Stanley is not a lot of the time, Dave, you got to be physical. And he was noticeably physical in addition to that fight.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point, Ez. And look, Logan Stanley, what was one of the things that Rick Bowness mentioned when he was asked about the lineup and what he was going to do today? He said, well, you know, we had Stanley. We liked what he did. He fought in the last game. Well, I mean, again, he was physical. And that, look, when you're 6'7", you got to play physical. You got to be able to use your size and your strength. And you have to defend your teammates and you have to kind of try and impose your will. So Logan Stanley did just that. And yeah, I mean, look, he pumps up the crowd, right? Sold out crowd, second straight sellout of the week, and the crowd gets going. So, I mean, it is what it is, whether you like fighting or don't like fighting, but ultimately at the same time, it's just a way to try and galvanize the crowd. And I thought it did. It actually had a bit of a impact. I mean, it woke the Jets up, like you said, and I probably misspoke a little bit because I said the Jets had a good first. They did, but they weren't ready from the start in the sense that Vegas, especially in terms of those opportunities they got, and Drew mentioned them already, it was the Eichel and then I think it was Marceau who probably would have not been ruled a goal because he kicked it, but they both had good chances. And yeah, the Jets, after being down 7-1, woke up and they tied the shots, and obviously they had the virtue of their powerless power play, but the idea just being that these two teams don't like each other. It's pretty clear, right? Like this type of intensity.
I think Vegas toys with the Winnipeg Jets, to be honest. I think Vegas knows that they're in the Jets' heads.
I don't know. I'm not so. I mean, I think Dallas would know that. I don't think that Vegas is like spanked the Winnipeg Jets, right? Like, I don't think this was any. Something and you
like,
can say,
obviously, I think it's something like 10 of the last 12 games they've beaten the Jets.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's 3 this year, right? Like, I don't think I mean, like, it's all well and good to say, talk about last year, but I mean,
there's also two playoff series wins, right?
Yeah, of course. But I'm saying, like, Lauren Brossoit was on Vegas last year, right? So, I mean, it's like, it's last year's team versus, like, True. Whatever. But the point is, like, I'm just saying, focusing on this year, you're right. They have had the Jets number, and that's all well and good. Regular season, they could be the regular season champs of Winnipeg if they meet in the playoffs, boys. Maybe the Jets will all get their revenge. But I mean, what I'm saying is that it's clear that there's a bit of a dislike, you know, and we heard it from Neil Pionk and Adam Lowry, who spoke this morning, not in an overt way, but just, you know, clearly that they haven't forgotten where things are. So, I mean, that, and that's not a bad thing. And like I said, from a Jets perspective, the biggest concern, and we talked about it, Ezzy, during that stretch, wasn't going to be your 5-on-5 play, because for 5-on-5, this Jets team has been pretty effective. I know we obviously have seen them get away from it a little bit, but it, again, this ultimate, this game is going to come down, this team's success. We've been talking about it on this show for how long. It's all going to be about their special teams. So if they can't get it figured out in the last 10 games or 9 games, it's not going to matter.
Right. So Vegas opens the scoring at the 15:56 mark of the first period. It's Pavel Dorofeev. He gets his 12th of the year. Nice shot on this one. Assist to Wild Bill Carlson. Ehlers, Jets fail to clear. Ehlers rims it around. There's nobody there to accept the rim. Not that I'm blaming Ehlers for that, just for the record. I just want to make sure that that's perfect.
You better not be, Drew.
Yeah, I wasn't. I'm not blaming Ehlers. Carlson picks up the pass. Dorofeev is all alone in the slot, and he's got a hell of a shot. And I was watching the Golden Knights broadcast. That was what was available to me. No, Lawman's on the radio broadcast. Sugar Shane Knighty was the sheriff was on was doing the color, of course. Gotcha. Nice broadcast, good broadcast. I got to say though, not that any of you really care about this, but the play-by-play guy, Dave Gaucher, I believe is how he pronounces his name, did a real nice job. Does a real good call. Except he calls them at various points during the game, during the play-by-play, instead of calling them Vegas or calling them the Golden Knights, he calls them the VGK, and it drove me bananas.
I have never heard anyone.
Right. Called
the Golden Knights the VGK.
He called it repeatedly. Oh, there's a good dump in by such and such player on the VGK. And I was like, stop saying it. It made me want to drive my head through the window. It was really a lot. But, you know, other than that, it was a nice call. Nice call of the game. Anyways, Vegas gets that goal there. You just can't leave a guy all alone in the slot. I don't care who he is. Dorofeev isn't the biggest name on the Golden Knights, but he can shoot it, as you could see on that one. And that's his 12th of the year.
No, but he's been a nice little find for them, a nice little kind of depth piece, right? And as you mentioned, you know, you've got Mark Stone, who is out of the lineup. You've got Tomas Hertl, William Carrier. So that's an opportunity for a guy like him, right? And nice pass by Carlson. And as you mentioned, you know, the Jets failed to clear it there. And it was the Stanley-Sandberg pair that was out there. And, you know, look, it's a shot from the faceoff circle. Sandberg's like a little bit late. And going back to what you said before, and then we can, you know, continue on this goal or just move on here. But I don't necessarily know that I love, you know, Sandberg staying on his right side. And I didn't like him coming out of the lineup and being a healthy scratch. So again, I'm not the coach. I'm not going to make the call. But, you know, if you're asking me what I would do if I was the coach, is I put Nate Schmidt back into the lineup and then Sandberg goes back to the left side, Dave. I don't know what you think. But, I mean, for a guy that hasn't played a lot of right side, I don't know, you would know better than I would, Dave. Did Sandberg play a lot on the right side with the Moose? I don't think he did.
I wouldn't say a lot. They made one switch at one point where he moved over to the right side a little bit, and Villahinol, I believe, was playing on the left, but it didn't last very long, and he didn't have a ton of success on the right side.
Yeah, so but, just I mean, something to note.
As Nate Schmidt learned when he joined Washington, and there were the left side was completely full, I'll learn to play the right side. So that's what Nate Schmidt's perspective was. And, you know, again, like I said, I suspect any guy who wants to stay in the lineup will learn, but I'm with that. It's like, I prefer to see Dylan Sandberg on the left-hand side. And look, this is Logan Stanley, for all what we were talking about, he blocks Connor Hellebuck, right? He completely screens him on this play. So, I mean, if you're not taking someone, you can't be blocking your goaltender's vision. So that doesn't help on this goal. And, you know, Sean Monahan a little bit on this play, you know, he's a little casual getting the puck out.
Yeah.
And then also when it comes time to like checking, you know, late, just before the puck gets passed, he's not super effective. Now, I believe, if I recall correctly, it was a bit of a longer shift for these guys, but at the end of the day, like, it just didn't seem like there's the requisite effort level on that shift for those guys. And as a result, you find the puck in the back of the net.
And I just want to say one thing, Drew, I had the replay up a second ago. I'd have to look at it again because, as you mentioned, it was Monahan, Ehlers, and Toffoli out there. So I would have to break it down. Mark Sports video, I'm not sure if he's watching. He does a good job with his video recaps. So I'm not sure if, you know, that should have been Monahan's, Dorofiev should have been Monahan's guy, or if it should have been Ehlers' guy. We mentioned Sandberg and Stanley was the D pair out there. To me, it was just kind of too much standing around, because Dorofiev had a shot that missed the net right before that.
Yeah.
Right. So it was kind of like the Jets were just kind of just moving a little bit too slowly, too sluggishly around their own zone. And like Drew said, I mean, that's a pretty wide open shot. And obviously, Will Carlson has been doing this for a long time in the NHL. He's a good goal scorer, but he's also a good playmaker. But yeah. I again, that's kind of, we saw that a lot in the Edmonton game, kind of bad defensive coverage, bad line changes, everything like that. The mm-hmm. good news was, as far as I'm concerned, the line changes were spot on today, boys. So credit to the Jets coaching staff. I'm obviously joking here. But
well, let's talk about the line change to start the second period. And it's just bizarre to me that you go back to, so, you know, the game started with Connor Scheifele and Aya Fallow. And then, of course, the fourth line was Baron Gustafson and Vlad Namestnikov. And then the second period starts and you see a straight swap of Namestnikov and Aya Fallow. And I'm just not sure why you, if you're going to pull the pin on that so quickly, not that I disagree with pulling the pin on that, why, you know, making that change, is I don't know why you don't start the game with that change. Connor Scheifele and Aya Fallow, I think, has sort of run its course at this point of time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But how long have we been saying that, though?
I know, we've been saying it for a long time, but if Bonus is so quick to make that move, I don't know why you have to wait the 20 minutes to begin with.
I have no valid answer for you, because I think even though Alex Iafallo is one of those kind of Swiss Army knife types of players that can play in all situations, like we've talked about Vlad Namestnikov being that guy, Nino Niederreiter, Dave, you've talked about that. He has those elements and he happens to also be Swiss, right? So that's my little joke there. But I think that, look, I thought Namestnikov was great tonight. We've talked about this basically since Namestnikov was acquired by the Jets. Why were so many teams quick to trade this guy? Like, he's such a good player. Like, and the thing is, Kevin Sawyer mentioned this, and I think he's right. He's also got a sneaky kind of pest-like quality to his game. Like, he throws his weight around for a relatively small guy. I realize a lot of people don't like to talk about size, but there's certain smaller guys that throw their weight around more. Like, remember Brandon Tanev? He's not a huge man, but he's a physical player, right? Neil Pionk, I think, would be in that category, right? I think that, you know, it was a little bit puzzling. I think the line combinations in general are off, aside from the second and third line, right? Like Monahan, Toffoli, Ehlers, that's working well. Obviously, Lowry, Appleton, Niederreiter. I mean, just, you know, that's in stone at this point. But I think with David Gustafson, Dave, I think he was good tonight. He had a scoring chance. I forget if that was in the second period or the third period. I wouldn't be surprised if Bones stays with the same 12 forwards next game.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to add, and I won't go on too long, but I actually really like the way that the fourth line looks with Alex Iafallo, Morgan Barron, and David Gustafson. Like, that's a big fourth line. They're a heavy fourth line. They can get in on the forecheck. I like that fourth line. I don't understand why it is that they feel this need to put a round peg in a square hole. Like, it just doesn't make sense, right? Like, you're not... Like, Alex Iafallo is not working with Cal Connor and Mark Scheifele right now, I don't think. And so, to me, if you're not going to put Nikolai Ehlers up there, and look, folks, the important thing is, and I just had the comment up from Ben Howerchuk, but, like, I think that you have to focus on the fact that Gabriel Vilardi could be back. We don't know. We're going to find out tomorrow. Stay tuned to illegalcurve.com. We will have that. I will be there at practice before I go to the Moose game. Moose game starts at 2:00. Practice is at noon, so we'll have all the website
for a second. I'm like, the Moose game is at 2:00 tomorrow. Then I realize it's Good Friday.
So the Moose are playing.
Nice little Friday for Dave M.
I got a nice little Friday. Then dinner to celebrate my grandfather's 97th birthday on Saturday. Yeah, so
little Shabbos dinner and a birthday.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So Zeta Sam, happy early 97th birthday to my Zeta Sam. But anyways, the
Drew of course went to high school with your Zeta.
They did. They were tight. They were in the war. I named my son together.
My son Sam after Dave Zeta.
There you go. Worked. But the point is that we'll have all that info on the website, of course, and on our YouTube channel. So make sure you stay tuned and are subscribing. But yeah, I mean, like it's just a function of right now the problem for the Jets, and we've talked about this, is what did we laud this team for? When, and as he mentioned this the other day, when you had Axel Johnsson-Fjällby,
Dominic Toninato. You had depth. So the depth is right now, the only guy you're missing is Gabriel Vilardi. Yeah. This team, like, and don't get me wrong, he's an important piece. He's played 38 games, though, right? So that's the other thing. This is game 73. Gabriel Vilardi's only played 38. Now, we know how important he is to the power play, and we can see what's happening without him. But you can't be that reliant on one player. You just can't. I mean, except for the exception of Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuck and Josh Morrissey. But I'm just saying that it's with this team, you know, you've missed him for the majority of the year, or for at least half the year. So you've got to figure out something, because right now, like I said, I'll go with Ez. I like Namestnikov up with Scheifele. If you're going to keep Scheifele and Connor together, yeah. Vlad Namestnikov just seems to pair well with that trio.
Jets tie the game in the second period at the 3:31 mark. It's an even strength goal. Sean Monahan, his 23rd of the year, assist to Ehlers and DeMello. Ehlers puts the shot on net. These Jets sort of get away with one here. Keegan Kolasar is tripped slash falls, depending on your opinion, depending on which approach you would like to take. I would say probably 8 times out of 10, that's called as a tripping call, especially when Morrissey drops the stick as a result of it. In any event, no call on the play. Golden Knights or the VGK are unable to clear the puck as a result. Ehlers with the shot from the point or just inside the point, and Monahan, there for a very nice tip. He's very adept at that, as we've seen in his time here in Winnipeg. And the Jets tie it up at 1-1 at this point in time in the second period. Well deserved. The Jets came out as the better of the two teams in that second period. Really controlled a lot of the play. Really, yeah. Right from that faceoff, I thought the opening shift of that second period, I think it was the Lowry line.
That it was the Lowry line. Yep.
A hard forecheck. A couple turnovers. They were really in on the Vegas defense early. So the Jets, well-deserved, get this goal to tie it up at one here, Ezzy.
Yeah, the Lowry line did their job just like they do every single game, right? And there was a play that I remember, like you said, off of an aggressive pressure forecheck. And there was a little pass into Appleton. I believe he missed the net, but it was the point was that there was pressure. And they came to play in the second period, and they dictated the pace. I didn't think that the Jets dictated the pace enough in the first period, even though they got a few decent scoring chances. But on this goal, right, there was a lot of similarities, guys, with the goal that was scored in the third period against the Oilers, right? Same type of thing. Ehlers shoots the puck, Monahan tips it, give to Foley credit. Where is he? He's exactly where he needs to be. And again, that's the thing. And it goes back to what we said before. And a few people in the chat were saying that it isn't the line combinations. And I, like, again, you know, everyone can have their own opinion. I just think right now it's the second and third lines that are clicking. Not saying that I shouldn't say that it's only the second and third line, because I've liked what I've seen out of the fourth line, but just Scheifele, Connor, and Iafallo, or Scheifele, Connor, and Namestnikov, they just aren't, I think, generating enough at even strength for what you need from a top line. Connor was excellent tonight, but it was mainly on the power play, right? We talked about it. Like, the Jets had the 5 power plays, and Connor was out there for the majority of all of them, and he was getting a lot of chances.
There's no such thing as excellent on a power play that doesn't score, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, and I understand what you're saying. I mean, I totally, that Connor was noticeable on the power play, and he certainly had his opportunities. But if you can't score on the power play, I don't care how much zone time you have. I don't care how great it looks.
Well, especially, Drew, with how anemic the Jets' power play has been lately.
Right.
It's one thing if it's just one game.
What is it, 1 for 20 now?
Chances. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you're right.
0 for 10 on the homestand.
At the end of the day, you have to get the results. They're not getting the results. But they have to figure it out. And yes, you know, we're going to mention it again, and we'll mention it on the Saturday morning show that Gabe Vilardi is getting close. I think, Dave, you'd agree that it's not likely that he's going to play on Saturday against Ottawa. We'll see. I mean, you would know, you've been at practice more, but it seems like it would be more likely that it's Monday against LA, or maybe Thursday next week against Calgary.
Yeah, the answer to your question is I don't know. I really don't. And they're going to have a full practice tomorrow, so we'll get a better indication. We probably won't get an answer, because, of course, they're going to want to see how he comes out of it. But again, like I said, on Monday, but today's Thursday, when the Jets practice, whether it was, I know, I guess it was Tuesday's morning skate, ahead of the Oilers game. Again, seeing Gabriel Vilardi in a regular uniform, we now know Rick Bowness confirmed his spleen is fine. He obviously still had that other issue that he was dealing with after February 29th. that game in Dallas, but he seems to be fine. We'll see. They're quote pushing him. He used that term quite often. And like I said, we'll see how it comes out of the practice on Friday. And of course, hopefully on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, when the Jets hit the ice for morning skate around 9:30, we'll have an update for all the folks. If there's an update earlier, of course, you know where to find it. But yeah, I mean, it's important for them to get him back. And maybe, look, I mean, like I said, you're going to play Ottawa, who Ottawa is kind of like what the Jets just did. Ottawa just pumped Buffalo, and now they pumped, I don't know if they pumped Chicago, but they beat Chicago, I believe, tonight. So Ottawa is coming in having won two straight. They've got nothing to lose, so they're happy to cause a little chaos for the Jets. But, you know, it's an opportunity for the Jets team to get back on track. And maybe, you know, I feel like I just jumped ahead in our recap, boys. But like I said, got me talking about Gabriel Vilardi. So I felt like the recap was over, but like I said, it's not, but we'll see what happens tomorrow, but he'll be a big piece of this puzzle. But ultimately at the end of the day, like I said, it's not just on one player. This is a team game, right? So it's not like you can just parachute one guy in and suddenly everything is solved.
Yeah. So 1-1 at this point, early in the second period. And really my notes from this point until Vegas takes the 2-1 lead are heavily about Jets opportunities. Nikolai Ehlers on the power play. He scores on that more times than not. He scores a goal on that one. You go back to the first period, the Scheifele one, where he had a good one timer he just didn't raise it up enough. More often than not, he scores on that. Kyle Connor had a couple of opportunities. I mean, there's the Jack Eichel to Nick Roy chance, which should never have happened shorthanded. That would have been an embarrassment for the Jets.
Well, there were four Jets in the zone, and yeah. I realize it's Jack Eichel, but and actually Connor Hellebuck had to make
a real nice save.
That's what I'm saying, and it was a 1-on-4. So again, I realize Eichel's good, but he's not that good that he should come out of that. And the Golden Knights should have a scoring chance, right? So,
right.
I mean, again, too, like, I know we have to go through this, Drew, and your notes, but I mean, those missed power play opportunities in the second, coupled with the fact that 5-minute major, where it looked like the Jets were going to get a 5-minute power play and they didn't get a power play at all, and Scheifele was out of the rest of the game. To me, that's really, you sum up the game right there.
Yeah, basically, you're right there. Vegas gets the back-breaking goal. It's Ivan Barbashev, a guy who certainly has scored his fair share of goals against the Jets. This comes at the 14:31 mark of the third period, so with about 5.5 minutes to go in the game. Barbashev, his 17th assist to Anthony Mantha and Zach Whitecloud. Real nice play started by Whitecloud here, who looks like he's going to dump it into the corner, a hard dump. Instead, he sort of feathers a pass gently, you know, puts a pass in towards Anthony Mantha in the corner. Mantha is able to find Barbashev, and really Morgan Barron is covering Barbashev. And if he's a quarter of a step behind, that's the maximum that he is. It's probably closer to an eighth behind. And Barbashev just with a wicked backhand over Connor Hellebuck. You know, Hellebuck wasn't tested a lot in this game, and that's a testament to the Jets' play and how Vegas really didn't generate a lot. But when you're in a tied in a 1-1 game, all it takes is one really nice play for the other team to get to take the lead, and that's what happened here. Barbashev with a wicked backhand, and it's 2-1 Vegas at this point in time, Ezzy.
Drew, you say wicked backhand. You're absolutely right. Like, sometimes, and I know Jets fans are not going to want to hear this, boys, but sometimes you just have to say, like, the execution on this play was really nice. And, you know, the Golden Knights obviously benefited from the fact that there was no power play called there. So you could see that, you know, they were coming on here. And they need this win a lot better, more than the Jets do, clearly, because they're trailing the Kings. I'm not sure if they passed the Kings. I don't even know if the Kings are playing. But they're in a battle for not only the wild card spot, but they're in the battle for higher positioning in the Pacific Division, right? So you're right, Zach Whitecloud, pride of Sioux Valley, Dakota Nation. He's deceptive there, and it's just it really is just a beautiful pass from Anthony Mantha. And you know, the trade deadline acquisition is paying off already, right, guys? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a nice goal, and no chance for Hellebuck there either. And like we said, it looked like it might be offside, so maybe the Jets were going to get some luck there, even though they already got some luck with those missed high sticking penalties on Sandberg and Lowry. But, you know, it's a nice goal. I mean, what can you say?
And I have to assume, you know, Matt Prefontaine, the Jets video coach, is on top of all these. So if the Jets didn't challenge, they have to know that it wasn't, in fact, offside. Because otherwise, the Jets and Matt Prefontaine is very adept at his job. At, you know,
and they did slow down it down and show it on TSN, Drew. I'm not sure if you were watching the TSN. No, you
I
said
wasn't.
You weren't.
I was watching the Vegas game.
So they did show it, and it was just barely onside. So
yeah, well, barely onside counts. Close only counts in horseshoe and hand grenades and offside challenges.
Yeah, and all I'm going to add is that, you know, you're right, Drew. I mean, Morgan Barron's right there. I mean, it's really one of those plays that
Pionk was there too, Dave. The Jets had numbers. That was not bad positioning. That was just a nice passing play.
Was everything
from
Manta
to Barbashev.
Yeah, it was just like guys who know how to make a nice, like, he put it in the right spot. And Barbashev, as you said, as he knows how to score a goal or two in this league.
Like, let's not forget that the Golden Knights won the cup last year, right? Like, they might have all these injuries right now, but let's not forget
good hockey team.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not forget who the Golden Knights are here.
Although it's interesting, they haven't been a very good road team this season. But you're right, Ezzie.
They are a very good team this season. Generally, I mean,
but again, you can afford to do that, right? When you have the talent they have, and when you know you're going to get talent back, like Mark Stone and Tomáš Hertl. I mean, the fact is that, you know, this Vegas team, I think I could be wrong, but if they won tonight, I think they leapt ahead of LA into third, maybe 1 point up on LA.
LA lost to Edmonton 4-1. So Vegas won 4-1 LA.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that means that Vegas leapfrogged, which is unfortunate.
That's
because this is not Oilers lunch, but I'd love to see the Oilers and Kings play a first round series. That would be just awesome to watch. But as the late games. But anyways, that's an aside for another show.
The Jets games are going to be the late games.
Well, we'll see. The Canucks is a wild card team.
Did you forget what time the playoff games started last year? Except with the exception of the home afternoon game, the Jets games were the late games last year.
Wasn't there a 10:00 Central start last year? I'm pretty sure there was.
At least 9 or 9:30. You remember?
Well, remember, because they say the game's going to start at 9:30, but it doesn't actually drop. Puck drop is until like 9:48.
Thanks a lot, Sportsnet.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways, the point is, it's such a backbreaker because the Jets to this point have played such a good game. At this point in the game, right? You took over the middle frame. You played fairly well in the third. I thought it was fairly even, but the Jets had a lot of chances. They were playing well. Like I said, they were playing within their system, and that was what you wanted to see. And then an opportunity that Vegas created ends up in the back of the net. So that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's a tough pill to swallow. Jets down 2-1. They get an opportunity, you know, with the net empty. They pull Connor Hellebuck, Mason Appleton with a good chance to tie it. But Logan Thompson, as he was all game long, was just up to the challenge. And then, of course, as soon as the puck, you know, gets close to the blue line, the Jets aren't able to keep it in. Josh Morrissey is sort of caught between a rock and a hard place in terms of how to defend Ivan Barbashev. And Barbashev puts it into the empty net to make it 3-1. We don't need to go into the 4-1 goal, but nonetheless, the Jets and their lack of power play success prevents us from doing a Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
You can award it to them.
What's that? Would you say
you can award it to that to Vegas?
Yeah, I can award it to Vegas, or I can say the Monahan goal should have been one, or had the Jets been able to get another goal, that was going to be our Seagram shot of the game. Whatever it was, as long as they play the bumper, that's the important part.
Drew, my big bottle of fireballs at Dave Emso, so I'm just going to do a shot of Diet Coke here.
Okay, you can do that. I say thank you to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Whatever you're in the mood to drink, something perhaps we recommend, something as quality as Seagram's VO, integrity, tradition, and craftsmanship.
Very yummy.
You find that in Seagram's VO, available wherever your fine liquor products are sold. Please drink responsibly. 4-1 is the final score in tonight's game. Vegas takes it in Winnipeg. The Jets extend their losing streak to 5 games, which they will, of course, look to arrest on Saturday against the Senators of Ottawa, back as this 5-game homestand continues. You have something, Dave?
And no, Ottawa's won 4 games in a row, just pointing that out.
So the Jets can't take it lightly.
They've also beat Chicago, and who did they beat? Oh, Buffalo, and who else did they beat, Ez? Do you know? I can't remember off the top of my head. Oh, I just
4
I
don't wins, know. So.
No. Well, hey, 4 more than the Jets have right now. Anyways, I was just going to say the guy who probably deserves a shot of the game is Josh Morrissey. you know, kid turns 29 on today and coincidentally played almost 30 minutes of today's hockey game. So he was a workhorse in this game. And I thought he had a really good game for the Winnipeg Jets. So
Dieter Meister, that's a good line. Seagram's shot of the game goes to Nick Hague's elbow on the Mestnikov. Gallows humor, which I appreciate, but that's not bad, Dieter Meister.
Anyway, so look, the Jets are in tough. This is not the first time they've lost five in a season. We'll see if they're able to similarly respond as they did earlier in the year where they had that five-game winless streak. So, and was that an 0-4-1 as well? I think it was. Was it not?
I think it was something like that.
So we'll see.
I was right after the All-Star break.
Yeah. So we'll see if they can similarly turn things around. Obviously not as great a runway as they had after that when they were able to go on that significant.
Dave, you're actually not allowed to say that. Only Sarah Orleski can say runway.
Ah, sorry. I'll pay her. Yeah, I was gonna say I'll pay her some royalties for that. But at the end of the day, the Jets they started to turn things around. But what we haven't talked about 5-on-5 being a significant problem for Winnipeg. The major portion of our conversation throughout the course of this season has been their special teams, and when you have Drew, I don't have the numbers handy, but if you know, maybe you do, don't, maybe you don't, but like whatever their numbers are, they've got to be, my guess is probably 26 and 21st, 26 ranked PK.
Sorry, Dave. 20. It's just funny that you're like, we're asking Drew for the numbers and Drew's on his family vacation in Florida.
I multitask. I'm very good at doing all
this team has really taken over our lives, hasn't it, boys?
I think what I was trying to do, though, is I was going long. I was trying to get
so that I could look it up. The Jets are now 22nd in the NHL on the power play. I'm not sure if that factors in tonight's games or not, to be
sure, but it wouldn't be that big a deal.
And on the PK, they're 24th. So bottom 10.
Okay.
I would love to know what the Jets power play percentage is when Gabe Vilardi's healthy.
Well, I mean, remember,
I can't get that quickly.
But
just shows you, Dave, how impactful he is on the power play.
Well, there's no question, because I think after Christmas, I think the Jets, there was a number I remember in the last broadcast that showed that I think they were like a top five team for a significant chunk of change, coincidentally, when Gabriel Vilardi was in the lineup. So, but I mean, at the same time, like I said, you can't just fall to pieces when you lose one player, especially a player whose health injuries or health status has been questionable. So you have to kind of
not out of the lineup.
Exactly. So my point is that it's great to say, well, if Gabriel Vilardi's in the lineup, you score two goals tonight. Well, that's fantastic. But what happens if he's not in the lineup? Which he hasn't been for 56, 58% of the year. So if that's the case, you kind of have to be able to have some sort of plan B. And the plan B, guys, definition of insanity. They keep trying the same thing over and over and over and over. I think Drew started that tradition and over and over again. I went a little more than five, Drew, because they're over 20, but I'm not going to get to 20 tonight.
Thank you.
We got to go to break, but they got to start to do something different because you can say, well, we can't change everything now. You can't just keep doing the same thing.
Well, let's go to break. When we come back, we will preview Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, see if the Jets are getting any help on that. And, of course, we'll bring you some of the tough duck, hardest-hitting comment and any interesting quotes that come from the dressing room. Much more to come. Don't go anywhere. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on a Thursday night.
BP's new New York Sicilian Square Footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian Square Footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
the game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg with you talking about the Jets and the Golden Knights. Vegas winning 4-1 over the hometown team tonight. Jets next in action Saturday night. They welcome the Ottawa Senators from our country's nation's capital for a game in downtown Winnipeg. Legal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. Central Time on Saturday morning. Post-game show a little bit before 9 p.m. on Saturday night. So a busy Saturday, chock full of Illegal Curve.
Dave M and I are going to be rolling to the game together. I haven't been to a Jets game live since I think like November. Dave, wow. M's been to almost all of them. Well, but we're going to ride or die on Saturday, aren't we, Dave?
Yeah. Killer bees, worker bees working together. We'll be at the shuffleboard court. We'll be at the pool. We're going to be everywhere.
Well, I mean, someone's got to go. You know, we don't even really know what state Drew is in anymore. He's might be in Arizona, Kentucky, Florida, Alabama. I have absolutely no idea. But yeah, we just got to keep putting the work.
I'm not sure why I'd be in Alabama, but that's okay nonetheless. Nikolai Ehlers talking about his missed shot on the power play in the third period. Quote, you'll probably see me practicing that one tomorrow. He went on to say that had he scored on that one, he feels the Jets would have held on to take the victory. And he's probably not wrong, given how the tenor of that game was going tonight. Rick Bonus said the refs called the Hague hit a major so they could review it. Then determined Namestnikov was leaning low and Hague didn't raise his arm to make contact. Bonus didn't tee off on that idea, just said he had to accept it, even if he didn't agree. Both of those tweets.
Isn't that exactly, by the way,
does Hague not jump as well?
Isn't that exactly what Brendan Dillon did? That got him like literally not remotely different, right?
I wish we could do a side by side right now.
Yeah, I could probably.
I think Remus is doing it. He's got the Zapruder film lined up.
It's weird because that's exactly the same situation, right? He was leaning low. Dylan's a big boy, and yet Dylan was hit with that. What he was hit with a five and a three game suspension.
Are NHL officials, by the way, instructed to do that? Because as far as I'm concerned, you shouldn't be calling it a major if you think, like, just call it what you think it is.
Remus is in the chat. He can tell us if he's there. If he's done that yet.
Remus. Oh, good. Remus is lining it up. Okay, good. Yeah, those two tweets, by the way, courtesy of Murata Tesh of The Athletic. So I want to give Murata a shout out for putting those out into the Twitter sphere, or X sphere, I guess, as the case may be. Yes, complete the. I don't believe, just for the record, I don't believe that there will be any supplemental discipline coming Nick Hague's way, which tells you that there doesn't make any lick of sense as to how the NHL and the NHL Department of Player Safety. I think
he should be suspended for that.
But do you expect that he will be?
I don't expect that he will be, because I think he probably would have been suspended if it was called a major.
Yes.
I you know what, Dave, Drew, I have no idea. I mean, I'd have to. I haven't watched it since the replay on TV, but I mean, I thought it was a hit to the head, and obviously the referees did, because they called it again. I go back to what I said: the referees called it a 5-minute major, and just look at how the Jets bench reacted when that play was reversed. Rick Bonus was apoplectic.
And let's also remember, Vladimir Mesnikov isn't one. Like, if it's Nikolai Ehlers, he tends to lie down and die sometimes. But Vladimir Mesnikov isn't one to be, like, you know, laid out as if it's the end of his life. So that's another thing I would put in his, again. And the refs, the refs generally know that stuff, right? Like, you can, the refs know, you know, who has a reputation, who doesn't, right? Like,
well, and this whole thing, too, with the size, like, it's a hit to the head.
Right.
Like, don't Brendan Dillon was on Noel Achari. Achari is what, 5'11", 6 feet? Yeah. Brendan Dillon had, let's just call it 3 or 4 inches on Noel Achari. And I remember at the time too, we were talking about that. Like, should that factor in? I don't know. I just, again, I to me it was a hit to the head, and it should have been a major penalty.
I agree
with Jack. It was back and to the left. Back. And to the left.
Before we finish off with the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment tonight, here's a quick look at the out of town scoreboard, which has actually been relatively beneficial to the Winnipeg Jets so far. The Rangers went into Colorado. They beat them in a shootout. So Colorado gains 1 point on the Jets as opposed to 2 points. In Arizona tonight, the Predators staged a big comeback against the Golden Knights a couple nights ago. They're going to need to come back from being down 6-3 to Arizona.
Josh Doan have, Drew?
Well, Josh Doan has, I believe, 1, if I'm not mistaken. And hang on, I know I saw it here, courtesy of our buddy.
He set up Andrew McBain's kid, by the way.
An assist. He's got an assist to add to Jack McBain. So yeah. Jack McBain, Andrew McBain's son, Josh Doan, Shane Doan's son. So the Jets 1.0, the progeny of the Jets 1.0 are teaming up for the Arizona Coyotes tonight in Scottsdale, or in Tempe, where they play. That third period about to begin there. And then in Vancouver, Dallas and Vancouver tied up at 1 goal apiece, third period underway there. So when we're done here, which is coming up momentarily, you can be sure to check out some of the out-of-town scoreboards to see how the results of every Western Conference team in action tonight, you'll see how those results impact the Winnipeg Jets. I saw Dave put it into the chat. We want to remind everybody you have about another couple days to get your Illegal Curve merchandise. The store is going to close on the 31st, so you have until the end of the month, which is, let me do one, carry the one plus two. Yeah, 2 days left to get your orders in for Illegal Curve merchandise. Some great stuff available in the Illegal Curve store. So there you go. It's up on the screen. You can get the link on our socials. It's on the website. You'll find it wherever you can find it. Click that link. Get yourself some Illegal Curve merchandise. Make sure you're all decked out in your latest IC gear as you
watch. Those IC tumblers, boys. Those are hot.
Yeah. I bought a tumbler. That's what I'm in for. I think I have everything else, so I got a tumbler. I think I need something to keep. I need to something to keep my.
No, you don't have one of. Hey, Drew, you do not have one of the Adidas three quarters, because the pullovers. Because I'm ordering one of those, maybe two of those. In fact,
there you go. Love it.
Oh, and Drew, before I know, Frosty's going to give us a shout out to our sponsors. We did give away the first Grid Park free parking. We have another one to give away. We actually have 8 more to give away. So if you want to enter, be sure to check out our social media, follow us on Instagram. You'll have an opportunity to go there, or you can even just send me an email, Dave at illegalcurve.com. And maybe I'll just hook you up with some free parking to ahead of a Jets game or a Moose game. Although tomorrow, free parking, little heads up for folks who are going to be making their way to downtown Winnipeg. I believe it's free parking. Actually, I call 311 to verify, but it's
everybody gets tickets.
Everybody gets tickets.
Yeah.
It's an Easter miracle.
Do you guys still use your Tumblr account, by the way?
No, I never had a Tumblr account. Which one's Tumblr? Is that a dating app?
Tumblr, I think, was pictures, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking Bumble. That's the dating app. Whatever it is.
Oh, Drew thinks it is.
Dave's on that one.
Ezzy, Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment to wrap it up tonight.
The Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
As always, lots of good chat tonight. Lots of good comments, I should say. So we appreciate that. I'm going to pull it up here. I had a few queued up, but we're going to give it to Joe Phoenix tonight. I like this comment. Bad loss. Not sure Scheifele made the right move at a critical time in the game. It's regular season, so it's okay. But in a playoff game, got to have discipline. I don't necessarily agree with this comment, but I appreciate the comment because, of course, Mark Scheifele ended up getting the instigator, the 5-minute major, and the game misconduct.
10-minute misconduct.
Sorry, misconduct.
Yes, misconduct.
But he was ineligible to come back into the game. And that's the point. And obviously, if you have Mark Scheifele and you're trying to tie this game up, mm-hmm. It's obviously better than having no Mark Scheifele. So I just like that comment. My whole problem was that wasn't much of a fight, first of all. And I hate the instigator penalty. And obviously, we're not going to rehash Hague's hit on Vlad Domestikov, because I'm going to say this all day long, that to me is a 5-minute major and should be a suspension. Just look at the Brendan Dillon hit. Just wait till Remus comes out with his Zapruder film. All the truth is going to come out, boys, in Remus's Zapruder film. So Joe Phoenix, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or slide into my DMs on X, ICEZEG, and Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you. We've got 9 game regular season games left. And then we're switching to trucker hats for the playoffs.
There you go.
Something if the Jets make the playoffs, that is. joking.
If they make it. And, of course, good reminder, Ezzy, that, of course, the first playoff game, the first road playoff game. So if that's game one, likely to be game one of the playoff series at this point in time, we're going to be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue, Illegal Curve Watch Party, Illegal Curve Live post-game show. Be sure to join us for game one, the first road game of the playoffs. We'll be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue talking about the Winnipeg Jets and everything to do with the Jets, getting you geared up and ready for that first playoff game. Still information to come on that front, so stay tuned for all of those.
Drew and I, of course, are going to each demolish a New York Sicilian square footer, so you got to come and watch that live.
Yes, that everybody wants to see that. There's no question that'll be exciting for everybody to see that. I want to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors who make Illegal Curve, who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, the website a possibility, our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Grid Park, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve and all we do. Big thanks to all of you for joining us. Big thanks for everybody for joining us. Do not press that button, Mr. Ginsburg. Dave will do a comprehensive.
Drew knows me too well.
Do it.
Drew knows
do it.
Dave
do
will
well.
Do a comprehensive Manuk Moose minute.
I was okay. About to hit that. I won't do a long one. I won't do a long one, Drew. I know you got to go.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
For the record, I did not hit that button. That was an Ezzy. I'm not even going to talk about the game. I'm not going to do a breakdown of the Moose game against the Toronto Marlies. A game similar to this one, the Moose dominated for stretches in the regulation. They were the better team. They outshot the Marlies 15-3 in the third period, but they couldn't solve the Marlies goaltender. But I want to highlight Tyrell Bauer's fight because Tate Singleton, who was seeing Doubleton after this, tried to jump. Thank you. Tyrell Bauer from behind. I'm doing this for D. Kona, and tried to jump Tyrell Bauer from behind Well, that was a mistake. Tyrell Bauer is not a guy you jump from the behind or, to be honest with you, from the front. He's a little too tough for that. And Tyrell Bauer introduced this young man who is playing only his fifth, I think it was his fifth AHL game. He had already scored a goal in the game. And he was, I would love to say it was a fight. It was not a fight. He got fed about 19 rights. A lot of the comments in the chat and on our Instagram were saying he was begging for a left after all those rights. Problem is Tyrell Bauer can fight both right and left-handed. So Tyrell Bauer, quite a tilt in that hockey game. The Moose did get the benefit. They got a single point losing in OT. Not a great effort in OT, but like I said, really good in regulation, and they got some good luck on the scoreboard. So the Moose have a chance. They're going to close things out. 2 o'clock tomorrow, we'll have full coverage, of course, of Jets practice at noon. All that. We'll have everything on Gabriel Velarde on the website, illegalcurve.com, and our YouTube channel. And then we'll have the game covered 2 o'clock. So post game stuff will be up around five.
There you go. Dave M giving you the abbreviated version of a Manuk Moose Minute. Of course, more on the Moose tomorrow and, of course, on Saturday morning and then again on Saturday night. Big thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. If you haven't already done so, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback, tell your friends, tell your family that the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game and again on Saturday mornings is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Instant replay immediately available. Podcast soon to happen. Thanks everyone for joining us. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.